Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the COVID What Comes Next podcast with Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health and a globally respected pandemic scientist and physician. Every week here, Dr. Jha will analyze events of the previous several days and offer his assessment and guidance for what lies ahead. I'm your host, G. Wayne Miller of the Providence Journal and the USA Today Network.
Good morning, Ashish. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Wayne. I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. So we have a couple of questions and then an audience question. Let me start with the first one, putting it to you. A recent UK study showed that there was a 65% reduction in COVID-19 infections after just one shot of Pfizer. And the study said, quote, protection from a single dose probably holds up for at least 10 weeks. Based on measurements of antibody levels. So no results were given past 10 weeks. Obviously, a second dose is required, but can you say anything about these antibody levels, what that means, what the study means, and just in general?
Yep, absolutely. So there are two points in this that people need to understand that's really important. One is one dose does give you a moderate level of protection. And that's why many of us early in the vaccination time period where we really had a shortage of vaccines, we were saying get one dose out to as many people as possible and then give second doses later. Because there's pretty good evidence that one dose alone gives you a high degree of protection. But, and here's the but, we don't think it lasts that long. 10 weeks, maybe 12 weeks. I certainly have no idea that it'll last much longer than that. And there's an issue of just that durability of protection. So everybody needs a second dose. What I think is really important in this, and you know, you saw probably over the weekend stories about how about 5 million people have missed their second dose.
Yes.
And what I say to folks is, it's fine. Like, you missed it. It's not great. Ideal to get it, but I wouldn't sweat it. Go get your second dose. You don't have to start all over again. No one's going to be mad at you that you missed the second dose. Just go get your second dose. Everybody needs their second dose of both Moderna and Pfizer. But if you ended up missing it for a couple of weeks because life got busy, you ended up having some work thing or personal thing, don't sweat it. Go get the second dose. Better late than never. One dose does provide some protection, but it won't last long enough and you need that second dose.
So that's a critical reminder. If you've gotten one, don't just get complacent. You've got to get number two.
Yeah. And if you've missed it, don't feel guilty. You don't have to, no one's going to yell at you. You don't have to start all over again. Just go get the second dose.
Okay. Thank you. And so if we've learned anything during the pandemic, it's how quickly things change. We have asked this before more than once, but can you give us the latest update on the state of affairs in the United States, where some regions are doing terribly, suffering horribly, others are not, and also abroad, which where the same situation holds true for many nations, some doing well and some, including India, your native country, not doing well right now.
Yeah. So let's talk about US. So I made this little bit of a bold claim last night on Twitter, which I think is true. I think it's going to hold up. That the fourth wave that we had started seeing, the kind of little mini fourth wave, we never got a horrible surge in the last couple of months, but we did see this sort of bump up of cases. I made the bold case that I think it's over, that I think it's on the downside, that we are heading towards lower and lower numbers. We're at about, you know, we've broken through the 60,000 number and now heading south of that down to about 58,000 cases a day. Let's be very clear. It's still a lot of infections. I'm not saying the pandemic is over. I am saying, I think overall as a nation, we're heading in the right direction.
So that's for the United States, what you're saying now.
Talking about the United States, but I want to give two caveats. We've got 58,000 is still way too high a number. It's getting concentrated among young people, among kids, because older people are getting vaccinated. We've got to keep going on vaccinations. We've got to keep driving that number way, way down. Second is, while that is the number for the nation, there are about a dozen states where numbers are heading up. And about six of them, they are hitting up a lot. Oregon, Washington, and then a bunch in the South, Mississippi and Tennessee, Arkansas. So we are not out of this pandemic, and we are going to see things like this way. And we're going to see national trends in going in one direction, but a bunch of states often heading in the other. There's only two parts of the solution here. Got to vaccinate more people as quickly as possible, and got to keep public health restrictions in place while that's happening. Internationally, things are actually quite bad. I mean, these are some of the worst days of the pandemic globally, getting close to a million infections a day happening around the world. And the epicenter right now of that global pandemic is India, 350,000 infections a day over the last few days.
Oh.
Their hospitals are just completely overwhelmed. It's horrible. People dying on the streets because they can't get access to oxygen. It is really, really, really bad. And so this weekend, I was thrilled to see the Biden administration step in and say they're going to help. A lot of other countries are also stepping in. This is a global pandemic. We got to help each other out when countries get into trouble. It's going to be a rough few weeks for India and for many other parts of the world.
You've made that point before, but it's so true. The international cooperation is so vital. And, you know, fortunately, we have the Biden administration, which is committed or recently committed to doing that. So here's one audience question from someone in Los Angeles. We seem to have a good fan base in LA.
Love it.
This person says, I really enjoy the podcast. Thanks for your support. I'm going to read the whole thing. And we've touched on some of this before, but let me read her question. I am hoping Dr. Jha can address the very real concerns of the immunocompromised and transplant patient populations with regards to COVID vax protection and risk mitigation. Many of these medically vulnerable adults, myself included, rushed to get the vaccine as soon as it was available to them. Some have had antibody tests either through the Johns Hopkins antibody study or through their personal doctors, and the results show a low antibody response in some of these patients. It's difficult to navigate business reopenings and reductions in mask mandates when very few public health leaders or medical experts discuss this population and our specific needs.
Yeah.
What advice does Dr. Jha have for us?
It's a very good question. And to the extent that I have failed to address this, I'm going to apologize. It's a really important point. So let's...
I would just note you have before, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, we can all do a better job. So let's talk about this. This is a really important point, Wayne, for a couple of reasons. One is there are a group of Americans who have immunocompromised states for a variety of different conditions for whom the vaccines may work less well. The antibody response may be lower. We don't know as much about the T-cell response. And so it stands to reason, until we have better evidence, that these people will have some protection, but not the full degree of protection. It'll probably vary from which immune compromised state you have to different ones will have different levels of response. And obviously, my hope is that everybody responds fully, but I think reasonable to expect that some people will not have that full protection. So what can we do? This is why we've got to drive the infection numbers down, down, down. This is why we have to get vaccination numbers really, really high, because the best way to protect that immunocompromised person with weak protection after vaccination is to make sure that they are exposed to the virus as infrequently as possible. And so if we can drive infection numbers down to 5 or 10,000 infections a day in the United States, it will make it dramatically safer. The alternative is to keep public health restrictions in forever. That's not going to be possible. It's not advisable. I think people will not tolerate it. So the best way to reduce public health restrictions and keep people who are immunocompromised protected is to get lots and lots of people vaccinated. All of us should be getting vaccinated. We should be encouraging our friends and family to get vaccinated. That's the best way to protect these individuals.
So you could almost say what's good for the whole is good for the one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, Ashish. So as always, if you have questions in the audience, send them to me, gwmiller@providencejournal.com. Write question for Dr. Ashish Jha in the subject field. Ashish, thank you again. We'll see you in a week. Have a good one.
Thank you, Wayne. It's always a pleasure being back with you, and I look forward to our conversation next week. Bye-bye.
Of course. Bye-bye.